From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL, The Doctor Is In, a bi-weekly podcast addressing common and some not-so-common technical issues in amateur radio. This podcast is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. And now, here's your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the Doctor himself, QST Contributing Editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Hello, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY.
And I'm Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Joel, by the time people hear this, it'll be Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much.
November 23rd.
Yes, and hope this isn't a turkey.
It may be. Well, we're going to talk about transmission lines in the sense of coaxial cable versus open wire line, right?
Okay.
So I mean, isn't open wire line always superior, supposedly?
Well, it certainly has some beneficial properties, as does window line, which is kind of a derivative of it that is not quite as good, but almost as good as open wire line. I make the distinction between them because a lot of people use words that can mean either. When they talk about ladder line, some people mean window line, some people mean open wire line. And so I don't use the term ladder line. I use either window line or open wire line, so it's clear which I'm talking about.
Yes.
I'm not sure which one you're thinking about here. Maybe both.
Well, yeah, both in this case.
Okay.
I mean,
I think it's fair to talk about them together because they are very similar in many ways. They do have some slight differences mechanically and electrically, but they're much closer together than either is to coax, for example.
True. And some applications just practically cry out for coaxial cable. They are really not well suited for, let's call it open wire line, whatever you want to call it, or a balanced transmission line, more to the point. However, you can't disregard the low loss characteristics of balanced transmission lines.
That's true, and that can be a real benefit if you would have high loss with coax. And I guess that's where it gets a little bit iffy, because coax has relatively low loss if it's matched and if it's relatively short and relatively low in frequency of operation. But if any of those conditions are not met, then you have to look carefully at which is the best transmission line to have. A classical example of a situation that's made for coax is an antenna that is has a 50-ohm impedance at the frequency you're using, a radio that wants to see a 50-ohm load, and if the distance is short and you have good quality coax, there's very little loss for short distances with good quality coax connecting those two. And in fact, you could use a balanced transmission line system between them, but then you'd have to do something at each end. You'd have to put a ballon, a transforming ballon at the antenna end, there are other things you could do, but you basically probably want to put a ballon at the antenna end and then either another ballon at a transforming ballon or an antenna tuner at the radio end. And chances are, between those two things, you'll pick up 1 to 1.5 dB of loss in those two devices. So you have to compare that to any benefit you get from the transmission line loss. So, you know, if you're operating it on 10 meters and the line is 100 feet long, you might start to look better with window line, even with those other loss elements. But the case that, you know, where the window line is a ideal situation is if your antenna is not matched at all bands. So, for example, if you use a dipole on more than one frequency, a dipole, half-wave dipole that's resonant, will have an impedance that's a pretty close match to 50-ohm coax. Of course, it still needs some kind of balanced to unbalanced transition, such as a common mode choke, which also could be a 1-to-1 current ballon, let's say, at the antenna end to keep the current or to keep the signals inside the transmission line, not on the outside where it's going to get in trouble. So you need to have one device, but that doesn't have to have significant losses, especially if it's just a choke wound with the same transmission line. It doesn't, or, you know, beads on the line or something. But if you have that device at the antenna end, then you still have to either transform the impedance, or you could make it a multiple of a half wavelength, which gets a little dicey to have the same impedance at the radio end. And then you have to do something there to, again, translate from balanced to unbalanced operation at the radio. So you got to do, you know, the window line is not, it doesn't give you a free ride.
No, it's not a panacea.
You've got to take into account all the things you're doing. Now, sometimes, of course, some antennas actually can be a good match to a balanced transmission line system. Any resonant dipole fed with a T-match or a delta match, for example, can be set up to match the balanced transmission line. And if it's a balanced feed arrangement, then you don't need a choke or a ballon at the antenna end. You still need to do something at the radio end. So there are a lot of ways to do this. But it's all a question of what fits the best, the circumstances you have.
Now, if you were using an antenna that you hope to operate with on multiple bands, but with one feed line, would a balanced line be the best choice for that?
Well, let's back up a little bit and say, what kind of a multiband antenna are you talking about? Because, for example, there are a number of multiband antenna structures that you can do. The classical ones are, say, parallel connected dipoles, which might have a 50-ohm impedance on each of the bands, which would be a good match for coax, or a trap antenna with multiple traps for different bands, so it has a match for coax. Now, of course, the traps have losses, and we all know that parallel connected dipoles can make you a little crazy trying to get them all working at the same time. Those are coax fed, or can be fed with coax very nicely. We take the longest one of those dipoles and feed it with open wire or window line, and the fact that it's mismatched on most bands doesn't cause as much of a problem with losses as it would if you had tried to use coax. And that's a very popular arrangement. I use one of those at home. Mm-hmm. It's basically an 80-meter dipole fed with about 100 feet of nominal 450-ohm window line, and it goes into a ballon at the station end and then a short coax line to the antenna tuner, and I can tune that on any band from 80 meters through 6 meters. I can almost make it work on 160, but it gets a little cranky. But it's not a panacea either. I mean,
no.
One thing people have noted is that if it gets wet, it changes its characteristics somewhat. Now, this is not so much a problem with open wire line as it is with window line, but the water on the web doesn't increase the loss significantly itself, but what it does is it changes the characteristic impedance somewhat. And when that happens, then you have to set your tuner differently. So if your tuner has memorized the settings, then all of a sudden on a wet day you find it's going clunk, 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 clunk as soon as you hit the key, and the DX station you were trying to work is talking to somebody else by the time you get your antenna tuner straightened out. So that's happened to me as recently as this past weekend.
Well, didn't you say also that if you put a window line on the ground, I don't know why you would do that, but let's just say you ran it through your grass or whatever, that can be a very bad thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the big difference between window line and coax. Let's talk about coax for a moment. The nice thing about coax is if it's properly terminated, the signals will be entirely within the coax. That is to say, they will exist as currents and fields with the electric field existing from between the outside of the inner conductor and the inside of the outer conductor, and it will cancel out everywhere else. So that means there's nothing on the outside of the shield except for a little bit that leaks through. And that means you can coil it up, you can lay it on the ground, you can run it next to another coax that's doing something else, you can run it past your telephone lines, you can bury it if it has the right kind of jacket, and it will be very happy. That's not the case with window line or open wire line. What happens there is the fields actually extend out. I suppose they actually extend to infinity, but they get very small after you go out a couple of multiples of the spacing between the conductors. So what you need to do is kind of visualize a tube that is the diameter of, let's say, 5 times the spacing of the line. So the spacing, 2 times the spacing on either side plus the space between them. So you picture a tube like that surrounding your window line. You want to keep it clear of things by that amount of distance. And we did some experiments here with the lab folks doing some careful measurements on different kinds of transmission lines out in the side yard of the headquarters, which we wrote up in QST some time back. And somewhat to our surprise, we found a few things that were not intuitive. One was that we didn't find a difference in the loss if we hosed it down. I said, well, maybe that's because this is clean window line. Well, I got some mud, and I put some mud on the thing, and that got that all wet. That didn't have any significant loss. Did change the impedance. We had to retune a little bit. But when we put it on the ground, on dry dirt, we had 10 to 20 dB of loss.
Wow.
This is a 100-foot section.
Huh.
And that really surprised me. And I looked into that a little more, and interestingly, if the ground is wet or you're putting it on wet grass, it's not quite as, it's not where anywhere near as bad. And I decided that it wasn't so much that it was next to a conductor, but next to a lossy medium that was happening. The fields were trying to complete through the dirt, and it just didn't work. But if it's lying on a piece of metal or a wet grass structure, it acts like a conductor more, and now it's acting like a different kind of transmission line structure. You can actually make a transmission line that is two conductors above a ground plane. People do that on printed circuit boards, for example. It will have a different characteristic impedance, but it won't necessarily have more loss. So I think when the grass is wet, my theory is that it's acting more like that than like a lossy element. Huh. So that's, okay. But I don't recommend laying it on wet grass either, or just, if you keep it 8 inches above the ground, especially if you do that where people won't trip over it, it'll work just fine. But it's even better to have it up at some height. I've used a, I don't like to put a lot of strain on a long aerial run, but what I do is run a piece of heavy line between the two trees I want to run it between, and then use a tie wraps or something to support it so the any stretch is applied to the line, not to the rope, not to the window line.
That's a very good idea. I have a question for you, but yep. Let's pause and hear from DX Engineering, and then I'll throw this one at you.
Okay, I'll be here.
Remember your first contact? The excitement of that first CQ? The exhilaration of making your first QSO? At DX Engineering, we know that feeling too. That's why we've committed to making your on-air experience the very best it can be. DX Engineering ships quickly, which means less station downtime, and we have free shipping for almost any order over $99. We've recently expanded our inventory, so you don't have to wait for the gear you need. DX Engineering has introduced all new radio products and revived legendary brands, all with the goal of helping you enjoy amateur radio. Most importantly, the DX Engineering team is here to help you. You've got a team of highly experienced hams ready to work out technical issues, answer questions, and help you optimize your station performance. That excitement you felt from the first contact, it can happen again and again with help from DX Engineering. DXEngineering.com. That's DXEngineering.com.
And we're back. And I have a question, as I promised, Joel.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, we've been, again, talking about the glories of balance line in terms of being very low loss, especially when you're feeding an antenna on multiple bands where the SWR can be just all over the place. However, my question is this. What if I'm feeding that same antenna, let's say a non-resonant dipole, a random length dipole, but I'm not going to feed it with balance line. Instead, I'm going to use very low loss coax, for example, LMR 400, something like that. And so, you know, talking about HF frequencies. Don't I get many of the same advantages without some of the drawbacks?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it just comes down to the numbers. You know, your dipole has a particular impedance at each of the frequencies you're going to use, and that translates into an SWR at 50 ohms. That is some number between possibly, you know, it could be 1-to-1 on some bands, but it could be 20-to-1 on some others. I mean, it can get pretty outrageous. Then it comes down to a question of how long the coax is. Because if you have a 20-to-1 SWR, you have to look at what the loss is at if it were matched. And then there's a chart in the handbooks which gives you an estimate. It's not an exact calculation, but gives you an estimate of the additional loss due to standing wave ratio. And it can be 3, 4, 5 dB additional loss. Now, the lower the loss is to start with, the less additional loss you get. And the shorter it is, the less loss you have in general. So it all depends on those numbers. And what you'll find probably is that on some bands, it's a reasonable compromise, and on other bands, it isn't. There's another thing I did, another kind of loss with window line we should mention. Doesn't come up very often. But all of this talk about the fields staying close to the transmission line apply if the spacing is close enough so it doesn't act like a two-element antenna. That usually comes down to having a spacing of less than 1/100th of a wavelength. If it gets wider than that, then the currents from the two lines, which will be opposite, act like an out-of-phase antenna pair, which can have significant gain in some directions, but you don't want gain from the transmission line. You want the power to go to the antenna. Now, if you work that out, what that comes out to is about 4 inches at 10 meters. So you have to think about that. So if you're going to work 6 meters, for example, you want a line that's probably half that spacing. So you have to look and see what lines are available. Now, window line, of course, is usually about something on the order of 3/4 inch spacing,
yes,
depending on the wire size.
So.
While open wire line, 600 ohm open wire line with large conductors can be 4 or 6 inches spacing, so that you start to get into a little bit of a problem at the high end of HF with that if you don't take it into account. So that's just another little caveat. It doesn't have to be a big problem. You know, if you don't worry about radiation from your transmission line, it's not too big a problem either, but that often is a problem because that's the way you couple into your phone lines and your alarm system, and also you hear all the noise from your washing machine and everything else that couples into that. So the lines have to be close enough together so that they cancel out effectively at any distance from the transmission line.
Now, speaking of the fields that surround the balance line, whether it's window line or open wire line, what sort of advice would you give to somebody who's trying to get that into their house? And like me, what if they have aluminum siding and they've got to pass that line through that? Or what about metal pipes in the walls or wiring and so on?
Well, just as with the line laying on the wet grass, I don't think metal, as long as it's not touching the line and conduct, you know, is not that big a difference. It'll put a slight discontinuity in it, just as putting in UHF connectors on coax provides an impedance bump, particularly at UHF. You will have a slight impedance bump, but in the case of feeding a multi-band antenna, you have such a wild impedance range anyway that a little extra bump someplace along the line is not going to be noticeable. So I guess I try to keep it away from old wood and stuff that might be lossy like dirt, and try to minimize what you can do. But you can definitely bring it in through that sort of thing. Now, the other thing you can do that I've done is actually make your own balanced shielded transmission line and use a very short run of that. And what you do is you just take two pieces of coax that are just long enough to get through the wall or whatever. You tie the shields together at both ends. That's very important. It won't work properly if you just tie the shields together at one end. And then you hook the transmission line on each end. So you have another impedance bump that'll act like if it's 50 ohm coax, it'll act like a 100 ohm balanced transmission line that happens to be shielded. So if you do that way and tie both shields together at each end, and one or both of those ends could be grounded for as part of your lightning protection if you want, it'll work fine. You don't want to make it long, though, because it has the same loss as coax does. So if you made it the whole way from the antenna to the radio, you'd really get no benefit compared to just using coax, other than it's balanced if you happen to want that. But anyway.
Now, I've seen some people, and I'm sure you've heard of this as well, who will bring the balance line right up to their house. They will attach the balance line then to, say, a 4-to-1 ballon, and then use low-loss coax for, say, 10, 15 feet to the radio. What about that sort of arrangement?
That is a compromise, and it's a relatively good one. I mean, it's the shorter it is, the better, and the better the coax it is, the better. And again, you can run the numbers. You know, if you have if you would have 10 dB loss with 100 feet of coax, you'll have 1 dB loss with 1 foot of coax in the same circumstances. So it's that kind of a thing, you know, and if you can stand that, that's fine. You know, you have to have that ballon loss someplace, and it can be at either end of that space. You know, it's better in some respects to have the coax come all the way in. Well, there's another thing about that. I've noticed this in my station. I have a couple places in the house where I can patch antennas. One of them, the balance line comes all the way to the tuner in the back behind the equipment. And of course, also in that same area is all the other equipment wiring. If you aren't careful, what you get is, even though most of the fields are within that tube, imaginary tube we talked about, there is some at every distance from that. It drops off probably exponentially with distance, but that doesn't mean there's none. So that can couple into your keyboard connection to your computer, lock up your computer, it can lock up your radio, you can do all sorts of things with that. So that's another advantage of having the ballon a little bit away from the equipment. So that's not a bad idea, and that gives you more flexibility on how you can run it within the station, but you should make it as short as you can.
Yes.
Probably a good idea to figure out, and you can take a quick measurement at the station end, what the SWR is, and look at the loss versus SWR, and you can decide, you know, whether it's tolerable and how much you can stand. And if you can stand more, you can use more coax. But don't put any extra. This is not a great place for loops of extra coax.
No, not at all. Are you up for a question?
I could take a question.
Okay. Well, I happen to have one handy here. This is Victor, KB7 Delta Delta Zulu, and he's asking, I am using an automatic antenna tuner at the base of a commercial multiband vertical fed with 50-ohm coax. Should I place an unbalanced to unbalanced transformer, or UNAN, between the automatic tuner and the coax from my shack?
The first thing I would say is you're dealing with unbalanced situations on both sides. Unlike feeding a dipole, it's balanced inherently at the center. Your antenna is unbalanced to begin with, and your coax is unbalanced to begin with. So that's why you're going towards an UNAN rather than a BAL-UN.
Yes.
But you may need that, but only if the impedance is different than 50 ohms. If it's 50 ohms, there's no need to transform the impedance. A one-to-one would be fine. So you could use a one-to-one transformer that acts as a choke, but actually at the base of the antenna, it's not going to do you much good. If you think of the vertical monopole, it has an electric field that terminates at the radials or the ground system underneath the antenna. What can happen is if your coax is going along in the same area as the radials, some of it will couple to the coax, and then you get common mode current on the outside of the coax going back to the station. This happens whether you have the antenna tuner at the base of the antenna, as you have, or back at the station. It can happen either way. It's good to get rid of that if it causes a problem. Depending on how many radials you have and what fraction of the field ends up on your coax may determine whether or not you have a problem. But if you do have that kind of a problem, the place to put a common mode choke or an UNUN, one-to-one UNUN, which is essentially a common mode choke, if you take one apart, that's probably what you'll find, is at the end of the radio field or before it goes into the house, and it could be either way. If it's at the end of the radial field and the radials are particular lengths, the part from the common mode choke back to the base of the antenna will act like an additional radial, so it'll help your radial field. The only problem with that is some can still couple beyond it, so you may still get some coming into the house, so you may even need another one going into the house, or you can just have one near the house and have it act like a longer than usual radial, and that'll probably work as well. But that's the place to put it. I don't see a benefit to having one right at the antenna tuner because everything's unbalanced, and if they're all designed for 50 ohms, you know, certainly the output of your automatic tuner is designed for 50 ohms. So if it can match the antenna, there's little to be gained by having any kind of transformation there. Now, there's a difference with some other kinds of antennas. If it's the kind of antenna, let's say a 43-foot vertical, that isn't quite matched on any band, in many cases, a transforming unbalanced to unbalanced transformer, some with a 4-to-1 or so transformation with the higher impedance on the antenna side, may get you closer to 50 ohms on all bands. And what it'll do, some of the bands, the impedance will become actually lower than you want, but it may be that it'll work with the tuner better. So it's something that some people have had good success with.
Okay. Thank you, Joel.
My pleasure.
ARRL, The Doctor Is In, is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at www.arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment for the doctor, send an email to doctor@arrl.org. Background music is courtesy of Ben Sound at www.bensound.com. This program is provided under the copyright of the ARRL. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.